Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. This is Steve on Blog Talk Radio once again, and I just want to welcome you all to News Without Filters again with a wonderful, wonderful sermon that I have yet to preach God's Word. And I just want you all to really be blessed in the Word according to the Bible. And let's just worship the Holy Spirit in spirit and truth. And let's ask God to just intervene on his behalf. So I just want to welcome y'all to Blog Talk Radio, News Without Filters. We're going to worship the Lord and Savior today. Please pray for me next week. I'll be going live. I'll be preaching over at the Salvation Army's Corps. Very excited about that. I'll be much in prayer for my captains as they're out on a big vacation. Pray that the Lord gives them safe travels and back, and just pray that, you know, wherever they go, that people find many blessings from them. So, yeah. Let us go ahead and pray and ask God for his blessings over the word, and let's pray and ask him for blessings over whatever song is sung. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. Father, I want to bring up this message today, Lord, as I do, Lord. I ask, God, that you hide me behind the cross. Lord, I ask, God, that you bless those that are listening, bless their hearts, and God, bless their souls and minds. Lord, I just want to thank you for a loving God that you truly are. Lord, thank you for this wonderful day that you've allowed us to have and wake up to. Lord, you're so amazing, so wonderful. God, nothing else can take away the wonderness out of you, Lord, because you put it in us. Lord, you said in your word that greater is he that is in him than he that is in the world, Lord. And Lord, through your word, I find us being great, Lord, because you're great. God, how great you are, your love, your passion, and your mercy. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you have your way. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. I want to sing a few songs, and I hope y'all are going to get blessed by these songs. And I'm going to sing a few. My first song is called When Mercy Walked In. I'm waiting on the music to pop up, so you'll just have to pray for me as we get this together. All right, so this song is called When Mercy Walked In. I stood in the courtroom, the judge turned my way. It looks like you're guilty, now what do you say? I spoke up, Your Honor, I have no defense, and that's when your mercy walked in. Oh, your mercy walked in and pleaded my case. Call to the stand, God's saving grace. Blood was presented that covered my sin, forgiven when mercy was. Can you believe that? I want you to say amen. I
sit there and wonder, Lord, how could this be? Just someone so guilty had just been set free. Oh, my chains were broken. I felt born again. The moment your mercy walked in. Lord, your mercy walked in and pleaded in my tears. All to the stand. God's saving grace, the blood was redemption that covered my sins, forgiven when mercy walked in. Oh, the blood was redemption. That covers my feelings. Oh, forgiven when mercy walked in.
You stop making this decadent, low-calorie Halo Top ice cream, and I'll stop making beef.
Y'all just pray for me as I sing this song. It was one dark night. A fearful time had come for one little Hebrew boy who was his father's firstborn son. Now if the angel of death had seen woe, it was hard to fall asleep, for one little lamb stood in his mind as he lay there helpless. He wondered why the young man had to die while his blood was on the door. Did the rain bring his children back? But he wanted to be sure. He cried out to his earthly father with a trembling voice of scare, crying, Father, will you please look and see if the blood is still there? He said, Son, now don't you worry, for the blood is there to stay. Though when they blow, the rain may fall, but it won't just wash away. The blood will stand the raging storm that's been applied with love and care. Safe, secure, you can rest assured that the blood is still there. All looking over the damage Satan's sword had finally left behind, the flood of endless life questions, doubt had filled my mind. The fear that gripped my troubled soul brought me back to my knees in prayer, a crying, Father, will you, we look and see
If the blood is still there, he said, son, now don't you worry, for the blood is there to stay. The wind's gonna blow, the rain's gonna fall, but it won't just wash away. Blood will stand the raging storm, then apply the loving care. Safe, secure, you can rest assured that the blood is still there. Safe, secure, you can rest assured that the blood is still there.
Amen. Y'all just pray for me as I open up the message and word of God. And I want to thank Dallas and all of them that are on here right now. For their kind and their gracious hour that they allow me to come on to just preach and praise God and praise His almighty word. Dallas is at the controls, and praise the Lord, he is watching over everything as he always is. And I just really thank God for all he does. And, you know, thank God for the News Without Filters crew. And I'm sure that if you wanted to put something together, all you got to do is just get with them. And I'm sure they'll help you get that set up. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and get started on the word today. And I was asking God what exactly he wanted me to preach on today. And God finally spoke to me and he said, you know, I want you to preach. I want you to just talk about spiritual possession and demon possession. I want you to talk about what causes it and whether it is a myth or fact. And I told Dallas this last night, and Dallas, I'm pretty sure you thought that it was going to be weird me talking about this. But I think it really needs to be talked about because it's hardly ever preached and it's hardly ever talked about. And that's what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about demon possession and how, you know, that it happens and how it can happen and what we can do to prevent demon possession. You know, when Jesus was in the garden, he said to his disciples, he said that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now, what does that mean? That means regardless of who we are, there's always the case of who we aren't. And without the Spirit of God, we're nothing. We're nothing but empty vessels floating around on earth. And we have no senseless case at all. What do you mean, Brother Steve? I'm talking about without Jesus, we are clearly nothing. We're empty shells. We're of empty minds. We're of empty hearts. Without Jesus, we are nothing, clearly. You see, when Jesus was talking with his disciples asked him a question. Lord, we saw you cast these demons out. We saw you heal these many people. And yet we saw you do these many things, but how come whenever we try to cast out demons that they do not obey us? Weren't we with you this whole time? I mean, didn't we have fellowship with you this whole time since we've been around all these years? And Jesus said, yeah, but you didn't do it, or you can't do it by yourself. You know, because the only way you're going to be able to do this is through faith. And if I'm with you, or whether I'm with you. Now, you know, just to give you some stories, when I was a kid, I've seen some incredibly weird and scary things that would run you out of the house. My mom, she was very schizophrenic. She heard lots of voices. She's resting in heaven now with Jesus, praise God. But she heard lots of voices. And when I was a kid, I heard her talking in weird, weird ancient language at one point. I didn't know what in the world it was. I thought my dad left the TV on, that he forgot to cut the TV off. And when I ran and rushed up from bed, I went to actually go see what was going on. And my mom had my dad held down. And I mean, just literally just twisting his arm. And my dad, he's strong as an ox a lot of times. I mean, that man, he can lift he can lift quite a bit. And so I went up to my mom, and I just started praying. I said, God, I know what this is. I've got a feeling this is not good. You know, I didn't know exactly what to do because I wasn't really much of a Christian when I was a kid, and I didn't know anything about, you know, all the powers of Jesus. All I knew is that Jesus loved me. That's all I knew. So I'm sitting there, and I'm praying, and I'm asking my dad to do something about it, and there was nothing that he could really do. So I'm sitting there praying and praying and praying, and finally I just mentioned one single name, Jesus, and the next thing you know, she was just out. It was done like that. Whatever was going on with her, the demon that was doing this was gone, and at the mention of Jesus' name, disappeared just like that, because the Bible says that if we resist, then the devil will flee from us. You say, Preacher Steve, is the demons actually real? Yes, possession is real, and it can be a problem if we don't take control of it. And the only way that we can take control of it is through faith. Because the Bible says that without faith, it is impossible, clearly, to please Him. So how do we please Him? By simply staying in His Word. By simply obeying His every choice and following His every spiritual command. Just like when the rich man came up to Jesus, he said, Master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And he referenced Jesus as the good master. And Jesus said, first of all, there's none good but one, and that's God. And he said, if you know who I am, that is a good master. He said, then you know that what goodness is truly all about. He said, all these things that I kept up from these youths, because Jesus was telling him simple things of how this rich young man could keep right into him. And Jesus said, you know what to do. He said, you've heard the commandments. He said, do not steal. He said, and he gave him all these guidelines and all these limitations. But he said, listen, the one thing that you do not realize is give your all to me and give your all, distributing it to the poor. Take up your cross and follow me. You see, Jesus was telling this rich young ruler of what to do, and the rich young ruler just sat there, and I didn't think he really understood. But whatever he said, you lack one thing, and that's by liking all that you have treasure-wise and giving it all to the poor, taking up your cross and follow me. That's when I really think that the rich young ruler began to realize that he himself is what Jesus was talking about. Listen, I don't want you to waste your dreams away and let your dreams overtake you. But what I want you to do is I want you to roll in your dreams the good way. And the only way you're going to roll in these dreams the good way is through me, because without me, you can do nothing else. Now, folks, that's the way it is with demon possessions. Whenever I heard a story, not only when I was a kid and I heard a story about my mother, but there was a friend of my dad's, his name was Ralph, he was a preacher himself. And one time, him and a bunch of preachers decided they're going to go out on a demon-casting scavenger hunt. So they gathered one young man. He decides to gather two other young men, and well, he thought that being fresh in the course, that whatever he had that he could do, he was going to go ahead and do it. But point was, he wasn't in the right way either. You say, preacher, do we have to be in the right way? Yes, we have to be clearly in the right way. We have to be clearly spiritually minded before we decide to take up on evil forces of the darkness of the devil's nature. So here they are, they go to this house, and this woman, she's in all kinds of witchcraft, and she's doing all these things, and she sits there, and they got her bounded up, first of all, they bound her up because she wanted the demon got out of her, and all of a sudden, they started praying, and the moment they started praying, the Father's Prayer, the Lord's Prayer, which is exactly what Satan is really used to, is the Lord's Prayer. He asked the spirit asked this question to the preacher and to the young man. The young man said, in the name of the Father, and in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Ghost, you go. I command you to leave this body. The spiritual demon made a big comeback at this person, a comeback that you wouldn't expect. And then from what I heard after the story, it went downhill from there. I don't think he jumped out the window like you would see an exorcist. But the demon looked at this preacher and looked at this young man and said, the Father I know, the Son I know, and the Holy Spirit I'm used to, but who the heck are you? You see, that young man didn't exactly know what to tell that demon. He didn't exactly know what to tell that girl that was possessed because she had so much darkness, so much spiritual darkness in her, that it was just a big enough stronghold that it wouldn't even let her go without even him, with even him mentioning the power of Christ. Now this is very important because the number one reason why it's so important is because without Jesus, we can simply do nothing. We can simply be nothing without Jesus Christ. And by going and trying to just relish up a possession case, that's not at all the way to do it. We've got to be strong. We've got to be committed. And we've got to be submissively, willfully, understandingly, knowing what's going on and knowing what may take place. And know the dangers before we do anything of that nature, because demon possession is real. And it can be very dangerous if not careful. What I want you to do is I want you to turn me to Matthew chapter 6, 22. And then we're going to flip over to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. And I'm going to read a couple more scriptures to you. We're going to get to some points. Matthew chapter 6, 22. Let's turn there. Here's what it says. In your Bibles, if you turn there. Matthew chapter 6, 22. I appreciate that comment. Thanks. God bless you. Matthew chapter 6, 22 says this. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, then your whole body will be full of light. Matthew chapter 6, 22. Now, what that thing is there's a three sense, and it seems like I preached this before. I preached this long, long time, and I remember this sermon. I preached the three senses that focus on these things that Jesus proclaimed. Number one is the field. Number two is the touch. And then number three is the see. Whatever we feel, whatever we see, whatever we touch, we allow whatever it is to enter within us. Because while we're having communion with it. Just like we would take of the Lord's cup, just like we would take of the Lord's supper, whatever we allow within inside ourselves can take us over spiritually, if not carnally. And there's been plenty of stories about demonic possession. As a matter of fact, the first real story of demonic possession began up there in Georgetown, Illinois, to a young little boy who played with Ouija boards, and he was not really in his right mind. He went and watched a lot of scary movies, and he done all sorts of things, went out with his friends to graveyards just to skip rocks, whatever, like they would do on the river. And all of a sudden, just no sooner than later, he was possessed. Or he allowed himself to be possessed. He allowed himself so to be possessed. Because he wanted to be more just like a popular person. He wanted to be more like others in that account. And so what happened was is he allowed himself to fully take possession of that spirit, or allowed that spirit to fully take possession of him. Now, I don't believe there was moving beds. I don't believe there was moving lights. And I seriously don't believe there was shaking chandeliers. But I do believe that spirit had a hold on that boy because of the way the story read it. The story went so crazy and it went so epic that they allowed it to become a movie on about the Exorcist. And it's the first one, instead of it being a little boy, they've allowed it to be a little girl. And I want to tell you something. If you've seen the movie, then you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. Let's look at the demonic possession. First of all, the question is, do I believe it's real? You know, we ask, you know, I'm sure that not only do I ask myself this question, I'm sure that we all ask our questions. Do we believe that demonic possession is real? Well, the first question that we must really ask is whether or not do we believe in heaven or we believe in hell. And if your answer is yes to believing in heaven, and if your answer is yes to believing in hell, then certainly that answers the first question. Yes, if there's a heaven, there are angels, there are spiritual good spirits. Just like the Bible says, there are evil spirits, there are good spirits, and just like there are evil spirits and good spirits, there's also demonic spirits. And I believe that whatever is forced within the home, whatever we do with inside ourselves, whatever we allow that comes into our body, whatever we allow that comes into our minds can overtake us if not careful. You see, that's why when we first become born again, when we first become saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, that the Bible encounters and says that we are sealed to the day of redemption, or at least that we're supposed to be. Notice the word says sealed. Sealed completely means that we are closed to all evil. That means that when we become saved or born again, through the blood of Jesus Christ, that we are to do the commands and what Jesus expects us to do. Just like that song, to be like Jesus, his hope possesses me, my hope, my every plea, to be like Jesus. So just like that, we can be like Jesus. Scary thing is that we can also be just like the devil. And being like the devil is just so easy these days. I mean, I'm not saying that the devil just gives us, you know, I'm not saying the devil just promotes us to do to do these evil things, but I'm saying that when we do make the wrong choice of doing those things, it's initiation for Satan. Satan loves that stuff. You know, when we go and we run and conjure up the dead, he loves that stuff. When we go and we read Ouija boards and we try to decide what the dead's trying to tell us, he loves that stuff. Because why? That is a gateway simply for him to easily walk into our lives. And that is when it opens, that we are committed to wrongdoing. Unless we turn it completely over to Jesus. Now, do I believe that we can go far too late if we choose to? Absolutely. I believe that we can get so far with it that it's just too late and can never come back. And what are you talking about? I'm talking about selling your soul to the world. Remember what Jesus' word says to the disciples? When he was talking to the disciples, he said, you can be in the world, but I do not want you to be of the world. In other words, you could associate with them, you could love them, but do not let their love be your love. Okay? Don't let their love be your love. Let my love be your love. And use this very same love to love the world. To show the world that I am the truth, that I am the way, that I am the life, that I am the resurrection. And whatever you find in me, you can also, others can find in you. Jesus made this very clear to the disciples. He made this very clear with the apostles. He also made this very clear, or tried to make it very clear to the chief priests and the elders. They simply did not want to listen because they were knick-knacking in their Old Testament ways. One thing about opening ourselves is how we do it. You see, closing ourselves, we're sealed to the day of redemption. But opening up ourselves is another different story. You see, because if we're sealed to the day of redemption, or we claim to be sealed to the day of redemption, and yet we open ourselves to allow evil things within our houses, within that surrounds us, then guess what? It will soon take us over. Because why? Because we are allowing such to happen. That's why I believe nightmares and not can happen within our minds and hearts. That's why I believe that sometimes that, you know, our minds play tricks on us as of to whether we hear things or see things. Our mind is going crazy because we've allowed this to take place within our minds. I remember when I was a kid, I was about 5 years old and I was getting some real nice sleep. I was sick the day before, a couple of days. I went to bed, and this was just moments after I prayed for my mom about a month or two ago following. I went to bed, and as I was asleep, I actually was being shook. I was shaking, and not that I was saying I was sick or anything, but I was shaking, and, I dreamed of the walls bleeding and all this other stuff. Because what had happened was I went to a book fair, you know, where I was going to school at Petros Joyner. I went and brought this book. And it was a scholastic book, and it was about hauntings, and it was about speaking with the dead. And the front cover had this really nasty rat with red eyes in front of it. And I thought, man, this would be cool to take home. And I heard a spiritual, holy spiritual voice, and I knew it was the Holy Spirit, and I should have listened to it. It said, no, Steve, don't do it. As much as you love scary stuff, don't take this one home. Because if you allow this to consume you, it will do it, and it's going to overtake you, and it's going to overtake your family. I didn't listen. I took it home. Man, I was excited. I wanted to get into it. So I would grab me some candy bars or whatever was in the kitchen. I would sit down, and I would open up that book, and I would start reading. And I would read from one page to the other, from one end to every chapter. I would read. And then I got to the point to where not only could I read it, but I could let my mind get so sunk into it that it was like I was in the book. And God came to me in a whisper. He said, that is one thing I told you not to do, let alone telling you not to take the book home. I didn't want you to get your mind into it. It was almost like the Holy Spirit was crying for me. You know, the Bible says that if we are silent, then the rocks will cry out for us. I was silent to God. My back was turned away from God. And so what happened next was I started thinking about what I read. You know how the teacher looks at you, and, you know, this is how I began to think about. The teacher would always look at you and say, hey, think about what you read. Then write down a summary or survey about what you just read. And so I would think about what I just read. And I would think so hard into it until one night I went to sleep. And the next thing you know, I woke up and I started feeling claws scratch my back. I started feeling claws scratch my legs. I didn't exactly know what it was. I started sweating beyond furiously. I started trying to fight and wake up. And the next thing you know, I dreamed of this great big huge black rat, man. It was after me. I tried running away from it. And all I heard was I heard my name being whispered in the darkness. Steve, Steve, we want you. We need you. And I kept fighting and I kept running. And finally, the moment that I kept running, I heard something say, in the name of Jesus, let him go. That is my son. No sooner than she mentioned, the dream disappeared. Everything stopped. It was gone. My mom, she took a holy Bible, and this is a true story. You may laugh at me, I don't care. She took the Bible, the holy Bible she was holding, and she threw it at the bed that I was in. And the moment she threw it, she said, in the name of Jesus, be gone. And the moment that she said, in the name of Jesus, that whatever it was gone. You see, folks, I understand that we're not perfect here in this world. I understand we're going to say things, do things, and think things that we don't mean to, but we've got to be careful with the word of not being perfect. We've got to be careful with that, of making that excuse. Well, God knows that I'm going to fail, and God knows I'm going to say things I don't mean to and do things I don't mean to. We've got to be careful with that excuse, because that's just like trying to you know, make up salvation in your own life, in your own way. You got to have an excuse for God every single time. When we fall, we've got to have an excuse for God. God, I'm sorry this is what happened. And even though God knows, he said that he is faithful and just enough to forgive you of your sins. You just can't simply say to yourself, God knows and will forgive. You have to ask for it. That's like if you hear there's free food across the road from you. Free food, you go to it, you ask for it. Hey, I heard there's free food, get it. And they'll give it to you. Just like it is with Jesus Christ, he said freely, he said to those that are thirsty, he said freely I give to those of the life of the living water. And to those that I give the living water to, that they won't ever go thirsty again. So through Jesus, we have all things. Through Jesus Christ, we are built Christian standard ship. The Bible says that we are a building that is fitly framed together to serve his will and to serve his way. See, folks, when the man Jesus and his disciples found possessed in the tomb, he was fighting for his life. Jesus approached him, and they knew who he was. You see, the Bible says that even the demons know who the Son of Man is, because the moment that they were there, in that man, he said, what have we to do with thee, the Most High Son of God? They knew who he was. And he said, have you come to remind us of our future? Have you come to torture us? Please don't cast us out to the abyss yet. Jesus looked around and they looked around, and not very far from them was a herd of swine. And keep in mind, the disciples were also there with him at the time they'd done this. And Jesus looked at the man, and I could just clearly see how he pointed. And he said, just go. And they went into the herd of swines, and the herd of swines drowned. Here's my points I want to make to you about demon possession. Demon possession begins with obsession. See, how's that? For example, guilt, loss, or fate. If we allow those three things to take us, then I got news for you. If we don't have the strength to come back, it's going to consume us. And that's where the devil first takes the tempt at. You see, when Adam and Eve were in the garden, they were sitting there eating of the fruit. And the fruit that they were specifically not told to eat of, that God told them not to eat of, it looked so good to them that they chose to eat it anyway. Because the devil opened up, or their obsession opened up to the temptation. And they got so obsessed with, oh, but I'm so hungry, and oh, it looks so good, and it took a bite of it anyway. Going into fate. People in this world, they're so cruel at times. Even family, people in family can be so cruel a lot of times. But the truth is, God still wants us to love Him. He still wants us to be their beloved brother. He still wants us to be their beloved sister. But the truth is that we allow so much that's said and so much that's done to tear us down. You remember what the Bible says about the past? Or how, you know, how many people talk about the past, that, you know, the past, you know, the past does not determine who you are in the future. The past, there's a reason why it's called the past. It does not determine who you are in the future. It doesn't. And if we allow that to happen to us, then fate will definitely have its way, and fate is what gives into the devil. Fate is exactly what Judas betrayed Jesus with. Judas was too blind to see what was really going on. Judas was too focused on his focus and not on God's focus. He was too focused on living. He was too focused on temptation. He was too focused on lust. And so all the equations that he was focused on came up to be in his mind that this man isn't exactly the man that I thought he was, and betrayed him just like that with 30 pieces of silver. Then there's loss. Jesus said, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Believe that where I am, there you, the Father is, that where the Father and I are, you may be there also. You see, Jesus was telling this to the disciples as a form because they had to leave their family behind to follow Christ. Peter jumped up and stepped out of the crowd and he said, now what about our family? And Jesus said, God's got them. Leave your family, you know, leave your family and trust in me. But how about just let us stay until something happens? Jesus said, let the dead bury their dead. Don't worry about it. Follow me. I have much to teach you. I have much that you need of to learn. Follow me. And immediately, straightway, they left their family. They gathered whatever they had together, and they took with them to follow Jesus. When it comes to loss, and believe me, I faced it. When it comes to grief, and believe me, I faced it. Sometimes we could allow it to consume our lives. If we allow that to consume our lives, then Satan is still going to have an open way. Well, hey, they're weak enough that I can have fun with them. I could just have my way anytime I want to with them. That's why Jesus said, do not let your heart be troubled. Because loss and grief can consume us if not careful. But with the cross of Christ, through the power of Jesus, that's why we have Him as our overcomer. And because He is the overcomer, we can also overcome the many obstacles in life, such as grief, loss, and disappointment. We don't allow that to become our future. Because Paul preached, this is exactly the cross. It's about sacrifice, but it's not just about sacrifice, but it's also growing. And it's also knowing, and it's also getting stronger in me. Dallas wants me to talk about spiritual strength Monday night or Monday. I have to do it early. I can't do it during the evening because I'll be at work. I've got 4 days to work this week, so pray for me. But I want to talk about it. Now, well, let's go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. It is in the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. I want to read through 10 through 12 verse. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of age, against spiritual hosts and wickedness in heavenly high places. Well, what it says here, therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able. Notice what it says, that you may be able to withstand whatever the devil throws against you. Folks, it's all in black and white. It's all there. We ask our question, how do we find ourselves away from this? How do we clear our minds, clear our hearts? It's all there. First thing that we must do is believe. Preached on this before, it seems like. The second thing that we must do is receive. And the third thing that we must do is rebuke. The Bible says that resist the devil and his powers, and he and his powers will flee from you. Now, like a body, here's what we are in the Christian realm. Like a body that is susceptible to sickness, a body is going to get sick whether you want it to or not, no matter how well you take care of it, no matter how well you feed it, no matter how well you give it to drink. A body is going to get sick. Because why? Because that's the way sometimes of nature's way of cleaning the body. And you ask yourself, does it have to do it that way? I hate being sick. It sucks. When you're all ran out of energy, you can't do anything. All you do is lay around and watch TV and you just can't do anything. I was there quite a few times. It's no fun place to be. But then it's our choice. It's our choice of what we want to do with that sickness. Are we going to continue to let sickness just run its course without doing nothing for it? Or are we going to try to get something done, fight for our strength back, and let the sickness run its course only for a short period of time? Now, I'm not saying that it can't come back, because it can. And the scary thing is, no matter how strong we are in Christian faith, no matter how believing that we may be, the least little thing that we do in life can allow these evil spirits to come back in our lives. Remember what the Bible says about evil? Evil, anything good and of God, will testify that Jesus is coming to the world, that he gave his only, that he died on the cross, and will display the resurrection of his power, and will preach unto utterly salvation. That's what the Bible says. I'm just quoting Bible, folks, word for word. Evil and spiritual darknesses is where we have the problem at. evil and spiritual darkness is what will confess that Jesus is not the Christ. We'll confess that he is not risen from the dead. We'll confess that we are doomed and we have been doomed in from the beginning. Because why? Because Satan himself does not want us to be happy. He does not want us to live a peaceful life. He wants us to live in grief. He wants us to live in sorrow. He wants us to live in brokenness. He wants us to live in loss. That's what Satan wants. Why? Because he can have power over all that. But Jesus said, I have overcome the world. And believe me that because I have overcame, you could also be an overcomer as well. It's not the point that I've moved on in my loss. It's the point that I have gotten stronger in Christ Jesus. That God took me to a place where I needed to be at the moment, at the time that where I needed to go. He took me there. At times, loss does still hit. At times, grief still hits. But I don't allow it to hit me as much because I'm not going to let that take over my spiritual realm. Remember what Jesus' word says in his, remember what God's word says in his Bible. He says that when we forgive, we are to forgive and also forget. No matter how much it hurts, no matter how much it compels us to curse God's name, we are still to be loving just like he is loving. Dallas, if you're there, let's go on a break and we'll come back in just a minute. Hi, folks. Welcome back. God bless you all. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. What I want to do is I want to start reading 10 through 13. It says that in the disposition of fullness of the times, he might gather together in one all in things, both Christ, which are in heaven, which are on earth in him. In him, we also have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. That we first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. Here's what 13 says. In him, who's him? In him that you also have trusted the word of truth, the gospel of our salvation, in whom that we also, having believed, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Back to what the word says. From the day that we ask Christ to come into our hearts, from the day that we ask God our Savior to keep us in tune in the Spirit. Guess what? He didn't only make us in tune, but he also sealed us. Until the day of redemption. So if you haven't learned anything else from this message today, learn that it is impossible to do any type of rituals without Christ Jesus. It is impossible to go with him without faith, and it is definitely impossible to remain in the state that we're in our Christianity without Christ. Just like I said, as Ephesians said, in him, who's him? Jesus. You also heard the word of truth, which is the gospel of salvation. Our salvation. And not just our salvation, but to all, but to those who believe. To those who receive, and to those who know Jesus, who that was sent to them. Father God, I pray that this message, Lord, that you have anointed, that you bless those that have heard and have seen and have heard of your word. God, I pray that you fill their hearts full of your understanding. And Lord, I pray that whatever understanding you put within inside their hearts, God, that you also guide, protect, and direct them in all things. God, I believe that what was preached here today was preached, and I believe there not need to be no more, because, Lord, the word is the word. You are the living word, the truth, the life. And if any man hears from you, hears the voice of you. God, I pray that, Lord, if there's anyone that's dealing with trouble such as spiritual possessions or such as obsessions within their soul, Lord, that all they got to do is they just call out to you and they get rid of it in Jesus' name. Whether it be pornography or whether it be just simply lusting for another, you know, just simply straight out lust for things or for any other thing out there. God, I pray that, Lord, you remove it, whatever it is. Lord, I know this was such a bit of a short sermon, God, but Lord, you are the mighty Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And through your works, just like the Bible says, we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. I could go on and on and on and on about possession. And Lord, I could go on and on and on about possession until my face turns blue. But it seems like that whatever you want and said has been said and has been dealt with. God, I want you to bless Dallas, and I want you to bless those that are in controls of the NWF without filters. And Lord, I pray that let your love, your guidance, your strength, and all be upon them. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Guys, I've had a pleasure being here today, and, you know, I just didn't exactly know how long this message was going to be, but that's what happens when you let the Holy Spirit lead you, right? You don't know how long it's going to be, you don't know how far it's going to go, but when you let the Holy Spirit lead you, it's all packed into one. Be sure to tune in next Sunday. I believe we're going to try to shoot for the Sunday morning service at 11 a.m. It's going to be 10 a.m. Central. If you feel like you want to bring somebody to the church, those of you that are listening in Chattanooga, you're welcome to. I'll be delivering the word that morning. There's going to be great worship. There's going to be a great service. And I pray that God blesses you and your heart to be opened up to him, because that's what it's all about. It's more all about him than it is anything else. It's been awesome being here today, and I know and I pray that you continue to stay in the way that God wants you to stay. Amen. God bless you. And Dallas, unless you have anything else in mind, I guess we're good to go. All right, God bless you all. See you all here next week.